This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio. Free radio.
Okay, so I'm here with Rabble.ca's Humberto Da Silva. Humberto, you've been here since 6 o'clock this morning. Update me on what's happened since then.
Since then, the police moved in. There were three buses of riot police earlier in the morning. I guess they anticipated some sort of anarchist resistance, but it never materialized. The only resistance has been completely peaceful. Police moved in en masse with Toronto city workers to clear the park. The city workers are on a work slowdown. They are working to the absolute stringent rules. They are taking their breaks, and they have taken over 3.5 hours now to clear about one quarter of the park. There has only been one arrest so far. I did not see the incident, but it seemed to have been instigated by the police. The person did not actively resist. And they were taken to a police van, and then they're currently under arrest. Initially, they were it was a woman who was arrested, and she was searched by a male officer. But after the protestations of the occupiers, she was immediately then searched by a female officer. The tents are being moved to a city yard at 50 Booth, where they may be reclaimed. Some equipment has been taken off site, one of the yurts, and most of the heavy occupation has now been taken off site to secure locations in order to keep for the occupation when and where they will need it. And sadly, we haven't had a major reinforcement of activists at the park today. But the spirit here is very good. I sense that the occupation will surge elsewhere throughout the winter, and it should be a very interesting 2012.
Now, we are right here by the gazebo. Explain to me what's happened here. It appears that there's a group that's barricaded themselves inside the gazebo.
There are two locations where there seems to be determined resistance. That is the gazebo where the general assemblies have been held. And the second place is a group of people have barricaded themselves in the library and are determined to defend it. The police have studiously gone around these pockets of resistance, and we'll see what happens next.
Okay. Now, I see that we still have a heavy congregation of tents near the church, but as I had been given to understand yesterday, the church did not want them on their property. So what's going to happen with those tents that are near the church?
We're not sure why the police are reserving those for last. I was here when the eviction notices were issued on church stationery, so we know that the church is not supporting the occupation at this point. However, there seems to be some reticence on the part of the authorities to tear up the occupiers' installations tents that are on the church part of the property of St. James Park.
Okay. And what plans have the occupiers got as we progress through the day here? Are they planning to do a march later this afternoon, or a rally, or what are their short-term plans?
There are meetings. There were meetings late into yesterday night. I'm not privy to all of the plans. Nobody is. That's the beauty of it. It's anticipated that there will be ongoing occupations, as recently at the C.D. Howe Institute. I know that there will be labor disruptions in Toronto over the winter, and there will be occupations attached to that situation as well. And we are all connected now, so stay tuned.
Okay. And I see that that they've moved the porta-potties out, and those were things that the unions had actually paid for and had made the time to have those go in there.
Yeah, my understanding is that they were paid for by OPSU and other unions. They are being moved out. Unfortunately, they were not properly maintained because the equipment to maintain them could not come into the park, and they were becoming, unfortunately, unsanitary. Nevertheless, they are now being moved off the property, I guess by the company that owns them on their behalf. Mm-hmm. And that seems to spell somewhat the end of the occupation in St. James Park, although I have heard of at least two or three other locations where it may crop up in the next few days.
Okay. Now, the Ontario Federation of Labour is in town. They're in the midst of their convention. Have they indicated whether they plan to come down here later in the day or what kind of a response that they're going to give to what's happened here?
Labor activists have been coming out throughout the morning, and the expectation is that at noon, when the Ontario Federation of Labor breaks, that they will be coming to the park.
Okay. Has Sid Ryan made any statement at this point?
I'm not directly in contact with Sid Ryan. I don't know what statements have been made. They were here previously on Tuesday and rallied here in the park with over 900 activists.
Okay. Umberto Da Silva, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, John.
So this is the barricaded library here right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
This will probably be the last spot because the workers won't touch this. It'll have to be dismantled by the police.
Okay.
And there are occupiers inside that are determined that the library will stay on this site.
Mm-hmm. And the police are over there. They're just walking around.
The police essentially are running interference to ensure that nobody blocks vehicles. And otherwise, there's been one arrest that we're aware of, although I did not see any incident, so I'm not sure why it occurred.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Now, is logistics dismantling their own tent, Umberto?
No, they're still... They're dismantling
that, that's a food tent. Okay, so they're dismantling theirs.
That was actually like the preschool, and logistics is here.
Right.
And this is where the supplies and...
The convention is coming down here right now?
Yeah, the OFL at 11:15, which was
3 minutes ago,
the floor is emptied and they are on their way to St. James Park.
Excellent. Now, I see that the police have cordoned off the streets between, what, Church and Bay, from Adelaide south to King.
They completely blocked off Adelaide, and they have, looks like they've returned the buses of riot police. They did go off-site momentarily. I don't know if that's any indication of anything, and whether they have any intelligence that the OFL is on the way.
If you look at Candace, I can call her.
Candace, how long have you been here this morning? I understand that you've been conducting your OFL business, even though you've got a convention going on. You've been conducting it here in St. James Park.
For me personally, I had a national budget call with our national union, so I took that from here in the park, just used the good old mute button. But we came down, some of the sisters from our executive board, at 9 o'clock this morning.
Give me an update what you've seen since you got down here and what's been going on and what people are telling you.
Yeah, so there's lots of city managers here ensuring that the workers are cleaning out all the garbage. There's lots of, you know, police. Things have been fairly peaceful. Everything is being taken down. We understand that the Ontario Federation of Labour Convention has adjourned. They are on their way, so labour is on the way. And, you know, we're here for one final show of solidarity with the people because, you know, we can take down this park and we can take down the tents and they can send people out, but you've heard it many times. You can't evict this movement. You can't evict these ideas. And these are real people. These are real concerns, and these are things that people care about, and we're not going to go away just because you kick us out of the park.
Assuming that you've been around the park, you're talking to people this morning, what's been the response to the fact that the park is finally coming to an end, or the encampment within the park, I should say?
I think people are disappointed, people are hurt, people are feeling a bit demoralized that, you know, this movement here in the park is coming to an end. But I think the one consistent message is the one I've just reiterated to you, which is that you can send us out of the park, but you're not going to stop the 99%.
Mm-hmm. What plans does CUPE have in terms of their involvement with the Occupy movement as we move forward after the occupation?
Yeah, so our convention has unanimously endorsed the support of the Occupy movement, and so we are going to be here with the people in whatever way they need us to support them, and we're going to be looking to them for leadership, and we're going to help in whatever way we can.
Terrific. Candace Rennick, thanks so much for your time.
This poor young woman, she's very young, she has a child, I know. They threw her on the ground. They held her down. They were searching her, which is illegal.
And there was a mic check about male officers.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was taking part in the mic check, which said that it was a male officer searching a female. Aiden is a female, And we kept on saying it over and over again, and then finally they got a woman police officer. But Sister Aiden, you know, the whole world is watching, and the whole world is with you. Aiden, you are the one. You're not forgotten. She's only in her 20s.
Nice.
She's a wonderful Latina sister. Let's say a little chant for Aiden.
Yay!
El pueblo, unido, por más ser avancido. Aiden, el pueblo, unido, por más ser avancido. El pueblo, unido, por más ser avancido. El pueblo, unido, por más ser avancido. A, give me an A.
A.
Give me a D.
D.
Give me an I.
I.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an N.
N.
What do you got?
Aiden.
What do you got?
Aiden.
Sister Aiden. Sister Aiden. Sister Aiden. Sister Aiden. Aiden has been released, I hear. Is that true? She's been released?
Yep.
She's been released. She's over there? Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Let's sing us a freedom song.
Okay.
Faith Nolan, folks.
That was Faith Nolan. So I'm here with Stephanie and what's left of the logistics tent. What's been stressing? I mean, obviously you've been living in the camp. Tell me what's been going on since early this morning.
I guess even from yesterday, it was already chaos. Like once the judge made his decision, was that Monday, right? 2 days ago.
Right.
We've been taking stuff down, trying to, you know. Retreat, I guess, you know, and
how does it feel as we sit inside this logistics tent that was up here for, you know, for 40 days and you're taking things apart? What how do you feel right now about having to go through this? What kind of emotions
it's like
are you
a bomb
feeling?
Bomb went off in here. Like when we got here, money box was broken open, stuff was all over the floor. Literally, like it was looted and pillaged, and like we were giving it away for free anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But you know, it's just. All hell broke loose. You know what I mean? Like when you come in with force and you know a whole bunch of trucks and police and you know this heavy-handed, you know right and wrong instead of you know talking and working stuff. It didn't make any sense. You know, like
how do you feel about the fact that you know the community's been broken up and you now have to leave here after something that you built over almost a month and a half period?
I guess we'll keep doing what we did, but I'm wondering maybe we have to sit down with politicians and business and bankers and say, tell us how you're going to make it work. Because, you know, at the end of the day, the world is going into chaos, you know, and this is literally like a war. You know, it's like it looks like a war zone. And for what? Because some people didn't feel comfortable bringing their dogs in here to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at some of the people today. You know, dealing with, you know, marginalized people, that it was chaos. You know what I mean? Like, they saw all this negative energy, and they didn't know how to react, you know?
Stephanie, thanks so much for your time. Taylor, how does it feel? 40 days out here, and it's all come to an end. In terms of the encampment, not the
right.
movement.
Good start off. No, I actually just had a very inspiring conversation with a member of the OFL, and you know that was something I didn't even know about before, really. And what's really happened here is that a lot of connections have been made, a lot of new friends and new allies, and it's really inspiring. I think that what's happened here is a symbolic moment, but that we are, you know, really just getting a whole bunch of new minds and new hands and a new sense of direction for what the Occupy movement will be. I mean, it began as a piggyback on something else, and now it's become, I think, at the front of something, which could be going forward. You know, people are talking about this in the beer stores. A friend told me that he was in line for a 2-4, and there's two buddies up ahead of them, and they were talking about social inequity, and he was just like, my mind was blown, you know? Uh-oh. Actually, I want to put that on hold.
Sure. Just a short break in that interview while Taylor tends to an immediate problem. In the meantime, just let me give you some background here. Adelaide is closed from Bay over to Church. King Street is closed from Bay over to Church on the south side. And you've got church, of course, over to Bay closed. So the entire street network around the park is completely closed off. We've got video services unit out here. We've got the police have set up a, that's the police video services unit. They've also set up a central field command. They've got a number of police officers in riot gear who are across the street on Church, just south of Adelaide. Others have already indicated, they were in the park earlier in the day, but they retreated when they realized that their services were not required at the time. And so you've got dozens of police cars, dozens of officers in the park dismantling. And as somebody had indicated earlier, one person was arrested but since been released. We've got a group that's barricaded in the gazebo. We've also got a group that is barricaded in the library yurt, and they have no intention of leaving there. So we'll have to see how that transpires. But the park looks empty. What was once a community has been completely dismantled. But the movement will continue, no question about that. So John Clark, after 40 days, it appears that the police are enforcing the eviction order and clearing out the park. Your thoughts on what's going on here today?
Well, I mean, we can't, of course, say that it's a surprise, but to actually see this incredible gathering finally being broken up is, on the one level, enormously sad. And I don't preclude anything in terms of what the reaction will be and what the next initiative may be. But I do have to say that even if this is the end of the campout occupation component, the contribution that has been made through Occupy Toronto to movements and to a general sense of dissatisfaction and resistance has been enormous, and that it's gonna live on, and I think become part of something bigger and something broader and something that goes even deeper into society than this has. So it's sad, but also there's a lot of positive strength to take out of it.
Now, by enforcing the eviction order, the judge was essentially saying to people, go home. But we know that there are at least 100 people who are camping here who don't have a home to go to, that this had become their home, it had become their community. They were fed here, they were housed here, they were given tents, they were given sleeping bags, they were given medical attention. What happens to those 100 people? What happens to those 100 people now?
Well, in the camps that we've set up over the years, we've had much the same experience, because there's a whole population of people who just survive precariously as homeless people, very vulnerable, very isolated. And at a gathering like this, they come together because it's a place of safety and relative comfort for them. So they'll go back to being in their precarious situation, or else they'll be snapped up by the people from streets to homes and be put in unfurnished places out in the fringes of the city with no groceries. But either way, their situation will be worse, and it's part of the ugly reality that this encampment has exposed.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see the movement going over the next few months? Because obviously the movement's not going to die just because the encampment is shut down.
The whole Occupy movement, and not just in Toronto but internationally, has been a manifestation, a somewhat initial manifestation of resistance to austerity. The austerity is going to get worse, the resistance is going to grow, and whatever form it takes, it's not going to be a movement of passive moral pressure. It's going to be a movement of large scale, massive, direct action in which people actually challenge what's going on. So today, sad, but we move on from today and we carry on the fight.
John Clark, thanks so much for your time. The OFL has arrived. But apparently the police are bringing in reinforcements. They are forming a line. They appear not to want to let the OFL into the park. But no, actually the OFL is coming in. But we'll see how far they get into the encampment.
Now, Wendy, I thought that they didn't want to let the OFL in, but the OFL are in?
They're coming in, yeah. They're coming right into the park, yeah.
But the police seem to be forming a circle around the what's left of the encampment. They won't let them any further.
Yes, for sure.
Now, Candace, as I understand it, they didn't want to let the OFL into the park. You guys have managed to make your way in. What do you think about the fact that the police have set up a circle around what's left of the encampment and won't let you guys in any further?
Well, John, it's not surprising, but I think that you can hear people now. We are the 99%, and they can evict us from this park, but they're not going to evict this idea, and they're not going to evict this movement, and the people united will never be defeated. That's the message.
Okay. Candace, thanks so much for your time.
We are the 99%. We are the 99%. We are the 99%. We are the 99%.
The chant has now changed to "You are the 99%," as they are pointing at the police officers, indicating that they are part of it. They are part of it as well. And the OFL is inching forward towards the police line.
Millions of people across this country.
Because you have conducted yourselves
in a peaceful manner.
Just like friends, we're going to stay here for a short while. And then we have to go back to our convention. But we are staying. That this movement cannot be killed.
Because of an eviction notice. You cannot kill an idea.
Whoa! See? Coming from modern. The car movement. All of us. Even yours.
Let's stay for a few more minutes. And then we're going to march back to our convention.
That was Sid Ryan, president of the Ontario Federation of Labour. So we are at the gazebo here in the park, and you have barricaded yourselves inside here. And tell me when that happened and why.
Well, in the morning, the cops came and they wanted to evict us from the park. Our main purpose is to not get evicted from the park, because a park is something that we have. It's like a small community, small world, a town that we have created. We get education over here. We educate the community and ourselves over here. We feed people and we let community feed people that reside in their community, and we create homes, shelters for those in need who don't have shelters, and we have logistics, which is very organized. So this is like a community. It's like a small park-like town that we have here.
Are you prepared to resist non-violently to the point of perhaps even getting arrested?
Well, been here for last 2 days, and with this in mind, all day and night, I didn't go anywhere just because I want to stand by my community and myself to protect my ideology, basically. Been waiting for the cops to come and arrest me so that I make my point that you know. Take us, or if you want to evict, then take us with you. Today, some people have been telling me that if I get arrested, I might be at a greater risk than other people. So I'm really questioning it. So I'm going to go with a decision that one of the community members that I really rely on, she's going to tell me. Whatever she tells me, that's what I would do.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Judy Rebick, I know this didn't come as a surprise, but how does it feel to see a community that was so vibrant and so thriving, and now we know we've got mud and it's the place just looks so empty.
Yeah, well, that's not if you're not talking to people. Yeah, I mean, it's just a park, right?
Watch your feet there.
The people have been so dignified, so strong, so centered, so calm. It's really amazed me, actually. Even when somebody was arrested, they surrounded the police van, and they were so calm and together chanting. I'm just really blown away by the courage, by the tenacity, by the discipline, by the loving compassion that these people show. It's amazing. So for me, it's not looking at the empty park, which is sad, but it's looking at the people and how brilliantly they've carried this out so far. It's been amazing.
Is this going to be the new norm for organizing?
Well, you know, I don't know what's a norm for organizing. You know, it's certainly, they're certainly
well, it's been
leading
done very
the
differently
way.
Than,
yeah,
than,
they're,
than
yes,
the past.
I hope so. I mean, I think that they've shown a kind of quality of community that we want in a better world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think so they're walking the walk in a way that no generation previous has done. I think they're showing us the way to successfully organize, yeah. And I think they've created a beautiful community here. I mean, I think, you know, Martin Luther King once said what we need to do is build a beloved community, and I think they've built a beloved community here.
Nope.
And it won't be lost. You know, it'll come back.
Now, when the judge evicted them, he was in essence saying, you know, go home. But there are at least 100 people in this park who have no home to go to. This became their
home.
Yeah,
that's right.
What becomes of them?
Well, you know, I hope they'll continue to work with the Occupy movement, because I think the thing that was amazing about one of the things that was amazing about Occupy was the way they integrated homeless people into their community. It wasn't charity. It wasn't based on charity. It was based on solidarity. So, you know, at first it took a while, but after a while, the homeless people, they started to participate on committees. They started to be a full members of the community. And some of the most determined people here, I think, are the homeless people who finally found a place that they could belong, and they love it, you know?
And they actually became a lot of love. They actually became leaders in the movement, which normally they're not.
Yeah, exactly. It's astonishing, actually. I mean, the way in which people talk about how it feels to be here, and, you know, the love that they feel for the people that they met here, and the love they feel from the people they met here. And, you know, the thing is, it's the same story. I've been to about 5 Occupy sites, and it's the same story everywhere. This is what's happening. And it's building a new world from the bottom up. So people who are cynical can say, oh, yeah, they're intense, you know. But you know, I've seen a lot of movements come and go, but I've never seen anything this profound. Yeah. And I know they're going to do an amazing job. Wherever they go next, whatever they do, these people are going to change the world.
Terrific. Judy, thanks so much for your time. So the OFL is now leaving the park, and they will be marching back to their hotel. But we heard from Sid Ryan, and we've also heard from Labor. They've made their point. They've made their case. And they will be continuing to support the Occupy movement as it goes forward.
For rabble.ca, this is John Bonner. Thank you for listening to John Bonner's audio blog, hosted by Rabble.ca and the Rabble Podcast Network.